tonight on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. It's Friday. That means we have the king of all geeks, Elliot Serrano, joining the show. Also with Holly Simon. At 11:15, we have Representative Ann Moeller and Representative Steve Anderson. Then at 12:05, we have our political roundtable with Eric Elk, Dave Lundy, and Ken Jagabowski. And we'll be playing another edition of What's That From? Happening at 1:30. And now, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in Chicago, Illinois, here she is, Patty Vasquez.
You're listening Pretty Late on this wet, rainy Friday night. Please be careful out there. I just saw a CTA bus honk loudly at a car on Michigan Avenue because he skimmed the curb trying to make sure that he did not swerve. I mean, this orange car was not staying in his lane. Slow down. There's nowhere you need to be. Unless you are a first responder, there's nowhere you need to be that quickly where you put your own life and the lives of others in danger. So please take care of yourselves out there. Right, Holly Simon?
Right, Miss Patty.
You and I are out there with our dukes up all the time.
Yeah, we are.
Just a little bit. Holly Simon is the founder of I Am Who I Am and has embarked on a new business adventure.
Called? I Am. Isn't it fabulous?
That's
I Am Bath and Body Products.
I am. Excellent.
And the coolest part is we asked a group of children with special abilities to tell us who they are. And so we use those adjectives and we put them on our products.
I love this.
So it could be anything from I am fabulous to I am smelly.
What?
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of a cooler, more fun idea, like on Lush.
Hello. Yes. Exactly. Hello, Lush lovers.
Yes.
We have a new
company. You have bath bombs. Are these bath bombs?
We have bath bombs. Those are for you when you travel.
Representative Martwick's like, I don't know what a bath bomb is. Do I need to know what a bath bomb is?
When you guys travel, though, I'm going to bring you some for your hotels when you're staying alone. You put them in your bathtub and they fizz.
Boom.
And yeah, they smell amazing. You think I kid?
No,
you'll be a fan.
I don't think you kid. I just can't.
He has a baby.
And
he thinks a bath bomb is something else now with an infant.
Well, I can't imagine Martwick doing that.
Taking a bath in Springfield.
Nobody needs to know.
Laying around, enjoying a bath.
You'll need it when you're in Springfield.
Okay, this is spectacular.
Isn't it wonderful? So it's packaged, it's labeled, it's all brought to you from children with special abilities. And we literally want to encourage anyone out there that has a special needs teen and adult to come work with us. And we're looking for high schools to come on board. We already are working with two. We've got companies working with us. We actually are in our first store. Thank you, Murray's Browse and Brews in Evergreen Park, Illinois. They are our first store to carry our products.
We need to find a way to get a store in Jefferson Park up on the northwest side to get involved. I think we got a lot of people who are motivated to do something like that.
Absolutely. So, yeah. We can make that happen.
Easily done. Great products. Great story behind it.
You take care of the south side. I got the north side. Gotcha. We got to get someone down the middle. We'll figure it out.
Oh, we can do both.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We've got Allie over here. A new friend, Allie, came with me tonight. And we can have Allie work on the middle.
And on the middle.
Yeah.
Someone's got to work on the middle. Which brings us to one of the reasons you and I had been friends for a while. How did we meet? Was it Beverly Arts Center?
Well, we met actually through Jen Kramer.
Jen Kramer, thank you very much. Yes.
Yeah.
At the Winter Wonderland.
Right, and
at
I
Navy
was there.
Pier.
Well, I kind of pounced on you because I had heard about you. And you were there, and I was like, Patty! It's Patty! and then you were like, oh, okay. Would you like to come on my show? And I was actually battling breast cancer when we met.
Right.
And you were so kind to me. You gave me a reason to get up and slap a wig on.
And stay up late.
Yes.
And since then we have, that was only a few months before things imploded when we realized that the state of Illinois was going in a very strange direction.
Right.
Representative Anderson has not had the opportunity to meet you before tonight. I know that Representative Martwick went because he's my rep, and that's why I was going around introducing as many people as possible.
That's wonderful.
To our representatives, and that's how a lot of things got started for this show and for a lot of parents we knew before. Did you kind of feel like, oh my God, we knew before everybody else?
Oh, absolutely.
We knew before everybody else.
Right.
That day that you sat in those hearings when they had cut all the funding.
We were devastated, though. We were still devastated.
I had to keep her from jumping out of her seat when Senator Ryder and Senator Murphy were just like, move on! on. Do you remember that when they yelled move
yes,
on?
Get I
over
remember.
It? Get you were saying
it.
Get over it.
Get over it.
Get over the cuts to yeah. social services.
Absolutely.
And you and Joanne Gard
yes.
Guthrie and some of the other moms that
yes.
you brought with us.
Yes, with their kids, they came along yeah. as well. And we were just all devastated. We actually felt like there were hours we couldn't get back in our life. You know?
Welcome to my life.
Oh,
you know?
Let
these guys.
Tell you, I have 17 days recently.
Right?
You'll never, ever get
I
back.
Can't do that. I can't do that.
Did you know that year in 2015 when, because how long have you been an officer? Representative Anderson.
So about 2.5 years now.
2.5 years now. So this is, you were right at the beginning of Governor Rauner's
yes,
term.
Yes. As soon as I showed up, there was never going to be a budget apparently for 2.5 years. Maybe it was my fault. I don't know.
No. I think there seemed to be a lot going on. Representative Martwick, did you know in that spring of 2015 that it was possible you would not have a budget that year?
No. And you know, the thing that I really believed that, like anything in political, you know, I'm going to double back. We always talk about how people who've been in office too long, but sometimes people who haven't been in office long enough are more of an obstacle than those who've been in too long. People come in with grand ideas and they're going to accomplish it at all costs. And I kind of figured that that's what happened when Governor Rauner came in. He came in with a lot of brash ideas and he was going to turn the whole system upside down. And so I kind of figured we would have an impasse a little bit, but we really all thought it was going to last a couple of months. And, you know, there was a large number of us, and I don't know, Steve, if you're one of them, but there was a large number of us who said that we would voluntarily forego our pay until we came across, till we were able to
yeah.
solve a budget. We thought that would be August. We didn't think it was going to be.
You were putting yours in your desk. I remember you telling us that.
Yeah. I didn't cash a paycheck for 13 months.
Holy cow.
And for Holly and me, wow. we get these alarm bells. We talked about this at the very beginning. You know, we get these emails, you know, the CPS is going to end these programs
right.
and, you know, special needs programs are in jeopardy. And we kind of like roll with it and we're like, all right, we'll make the phone calls and stuff like that. But we knew that week because you also alerted me to a friend of yours mm-hmm. who has a daughter, an adult mm-hmm. daughter with cerebral palsy.
Correct.
She found out that she was, and I've talked about
yes.
her on the show before, where
yes.
she was worried that she was not going to be able to, and she has since.
Lost her respite care?
Yes.
That we're talking about? Yes. Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, and the mother had to stop working?
Mm-hmm.
There's so many stories like that, that parents literally were faced with, what do I do now? And it's helpless and it's hopeless.
And that's what was maddening was that, you know, I was getting emails and you and I talk about mm-hmm. Facebook and the comments that you and I get about the BS that we put out
yes.
there and stop complaining about your,
yes,
you know.
Got one today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I get some of the ugliest messages. We were first. Our kids, the disabled and the elderly, were the first in the state of Illinois to feel this.
Right.
And, you know, in those last few weeks, people were like, well, what do you mean the construction jobs are going to stop? And we were like, our lives stopped in 2015.
Oh, sure.
Absolutely.
Sure.
And it's a slow climb back up.
Yeah.
That's the problem. For parents with children with different disabilities like we both have, it's just a really hard way back up when you're kicked down.
Well, and we've dismantled so much of our social service safety net at this point. I mean, it's going to take years to mm-hmm. rebuild.
Right. Yeah. We don't have years. That's the problem.
Right.
Our children grow.
Right.
And then they grow out of the system at 22.
Right.
And then we have nothing. And that's a frightening reality. I went to a lunch, ran into a mother with a child with autism. And she said, Holly, what do I do? And, you know, I thought I had answers, and I had absolutely nothing to tell this poor mother. I have no idea. She said, everywhere I've called, there's a waiting list. Every place I've gone to is overbooked. We're not bringing back institutions. We're not doing that to our children. We're not going backwards in time. We have to make a change fast because our children are growing, and they're growing up.
And I don't want to move. I just read an article today about a family that's moving to Minnesota.
Oh, right. We've talked about that a lot. Many parents ask
us. I'm not going. I'm not.
Yeah.
I know that people are like, well, you've got to move for your child if it's that important.
Right.
It's not just my child.
Right.
I believe in all the kids of
Illinois.
Where
are we going? Yeah.
Right.
Where are we going? It's getting bad everywhere. But this is ridiculous. Truly, it's ridiculous. And so many people won't even get into the profession anymore because they know that,
yes.
that they have no job security. And nobody wants to be a teacher. My goodness, and nobody wants to work for CPS.
And
nobody, it's just a mess.
No, and you, what you're doing right now is you're illustrating something that I try and convey to people when we talk about the financial problems that Illinois has. So many people in a vacuum, who wants to pay more taxes? In a vacuum, right?
Mm-hmm.
If the choice is just, should I pay this much taxes or more? Everyone says, no, I don't want to pay more.
Right.
But the problem is that when we just focus on cuts, if we're not mindful of the cuts that we're making, the mm-hmm. cuts that we're making are really counterproductive. You talked about a mother losing her respite care and having to give up her job. Well, that's tax revenue that we're losing because she doesn't, right? Mm-hmm. And we had child care assistance for single working mothers that we made devastating cuts to. Let me think about that for a second. Child care assistance for single working mothers. If single working mothers can't work because they can't there's no one to take care of their child, they're on public assistance and we're paying for them instead of them and them paying taxes. And, you know, so it always looks easy to save money, but the choices are so difficult because we have these in the last point that you talked about. And I think this is real important from an economic perspective. I mean, this is economics 101, and I don't mean like simple, but like the first class you take in college, they talk about the balance between the private sector in the economy and the public sector, and there's a balance. And you know, I think a lot of our philosophical arguments are about what is that proper level, and I appreciate that. But when you make wholesale cuts to services that government provides, those are jobs. And those people, when they can't find a job, they leave the state. So you look at out-migration in the state. I'm not saying all of it, but I would suggest that a large portion of it is probably a lot of people who were working in providing care for senior citizens or teachers, and they've lost their jobs and they leave the state.
Sure, but here's something really important that everybody needs to hear as well. When you hear of these cuts for children with special abilities, everyone thinks, that's not my child. I don't care if they're being cut. Guess what? It is your child. It's one of six. And it's your neighbor, and it's your nephew, and it's your niece, and it's our world. So Patty used to always say, it's the most vulnerable, easily cut. We're silent. Guess what? Holly and Patty are in town, and we're no longer going to be silent anymore.
Good
because these children need a voice.
Yeah.
And they're out there by
it's
numbers.
It's so much more. There's so many different avenues that you can paint. Point towards with this. You know, you're talking about developmental disabilities, but I'm a big advocate for mental health issues. And, you know, the National Association of the Mentally Ill, I think they characterize it now. We're talking about 2 in 5 children suffer from some diagnosed illness that's actually undiagnosed, but they're suffering from it. And we're not addressing that.
Right.
I mean, what we've done is we've done a good thing in the last, few weeks. We've passed a budget. But it's not a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not addressing the things that we really need to going forward. It's basically just getting us back up on our knees, you will. Certainly not on our feet.
Right.
And there's more to do. It frustrates me when I think about, like, the community care program for the aged.
Mm-hmm.
That's a program that costs about $10,000 per person to keep people with dignity in their homes.
Right.
They're talking about cutting it. And instead, that's effectively going to send them into nursing homes, which will cost 4 or 5 times as much. So it neither makes sense financially, nor does it preserve their dignity.
Exactly. It's all, and that's what it comes down to. We have so much more work to do. Let's talk about what's next. Holly mentioned CPS, and I know that there's a big bill and a big debate about what's going to happen on Monday, whether or not the governor gets the legislation on his desk, whether or not you are all going back to Springfield to hammer it away. Again, more after this. Join our conversation anytime. 312-981-7200. It's soggy outside, but, you know, whiskey and a cookie in studio. More after this on 720 WGN. Man, I think the off-air show, someday I'm going to record the off-the-air show during the breaks.
No way.
I can't, because everyone would know that I had recording in the studio and they wouldn't say all the things that we just said, which we will not say. No, you can't. You can't, Holly. It's okay.
No, I won't say it.
No.
But I would say it.
You would say it.
But I won't.
You don't even know who we're talking about. The fun part is like, who? Who did what? Online?
Yeah.
Doing huh? we're going to go to the news in a moment, but I do think we need to talk about the governor changing his entire staff. And some of them, by the way, found out by Twitter. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
I don't even have a Twitter.
Leader, Representative, did you find out by Twitter that you were demoted?
No.
Okay. No. You're like, do you kind of wish you'd found out by Twitter? Would that have been more preferable?
I was honestly, no. I mean, my leader, Jim Durkin, called me and we had a very direct conversation about it. And he was very professional. And I think he did the right thing because the floor leader's job is to be fairly partisan and to advocate for the Republican Party. Okay, so I'm a strong Republican, but at that point, what I had done was I had broken with 15 of my members to solve the crisis. Okay, so Jim, my leader, has a job to do. He has a caucus to manage. So that means he had 36 people who didn't agree with me. I had a job to do too. My job was to save the state. but his job is to manage that caucus. It was right to replace me at that point. That was appropriate.
Okay. That makes sense to me. It also makes sense to me that your job was to save the state.
Indeed.
So we all have different roles to play. Representative Martwick. when he mentions the partisan part of this, we talked a lot about the last few weeks of May got particularly ugly, I thought, when it came to not just what would happen on the floor, but what people would do to sort of twist the knife when it came to elements that arose, whether it was somebody slapping their name on a bill and then using that as a political pawn, like some sort of ping pong ball for their own benefit.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing that's going on, and we've seen it throughout the country. Certainly, it's become even more highlighted now. But it's happening in Illinois, and it's a shame. We see the parties being drawn to the extremes, and people who do the bold, crazy exercise of actually compromising on something are made out to be pariahs. And that's, you know, Steve over here, you know, he found a way to solve a problem by compromising. And that's what we're supposed to do in government. You know, you're elected to go with a set of ideals and set of things that you want to accomplish. But we all go there. We're all supposed to go there with accepting that we're not the dictator. Things don't go our way.
Right.
So you have to accomplish as much as you can. But if you can't get everything you want, you have to compromise so we can get something done.
Right.
And we're losing the art of compromise and getting things done. And that's what led us to two and a half years of impasse.
Yes, sir.
I want to speak to that a little bit because I agree with what Rob said. But I also think I'm very proud of what happened in the last few days there in the last few weeks, because what happened was you actually saw something that was, I think, unheard of, which was the rank and file on both sides compromised together, contrary to the wishes of both party leadership.
Right.
I don't know what happens, of course, in the Democratic caucus, but my understanding is the speaker didn't really want this to happen any more than the governor wanted it to happen.
That was my understanding as well.
Right. But the reality was through relationships, through trust that we had, they pushed back. Now, you're not going to hear about what happened on their side because it happened kind of quietly in their caucus, and that's
good.
Wait,
the compromises that happened?
Well, the pushback that happened against their own leadership. So you're not going to hear about that. But there are heroes on their side that made that happen. Our side was a little bit more obvious because it had to be. Okay,
and there were heroes on your side, and I consider you and Representative Harris and several others to be amongst those.
I thank you for that. But it was the unique combination of both sides, rank and file, coming together, pushing against their leadership in a way that allowed that to really happen. That's who saved the state. It's the rank and file who did.
We appreciate that. Holly, Simon, and I are going to light the microphones up in just a moment after the news because there was something that came out this week. I wrote and deleted my post about it so many times, Holly, that I was just like about the comments made by Governor Rauner's director of communications. So we'll talk about that when we come back after the news. And so if abortion makes your sphincter snap, you know, and maybe you want to, maybe that makes you hang in there, but, it got me and Holly going, you just said what about what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't use our children to forward your, you know what, if they're going to be warriors for disabled individuals, then, little Brittany better expect to see us in her office. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Representative Robert Martwick, Representative Steve Anderson. Representative, he has two S's.
Thank you for the double S.
Representative Anderson, and we also have Holly Simon, who is the CEO and the creator of I Am Who I Am, and now has created a company that celebrates all children, I Am. And if you enjoy, I'm sorry, but who doesn't like a bath bomb? Right. We're going to get these guys. I mean, we don't need video. We don't need any.
you're not getting it.
Yeah, no thanks.
We appreciate that.
We're good. Yeah.
We need a Facebook Live of Representative Martwick doing a bath bomb.
Let's do it.
But bring some home for your wife. I'm going to order some for your family. Is this, you know what I should do is I should do a big order and make it swag for the show.
Yes.
I think WGN needs to get in on
Thank
this.
You. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
I think swag.
Thank
that's
you.
What, that's what I'm thinking.
And when you see the children working on each order, you can't help but order. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Lush, we love you, but there's room for I Am Bath & Body Products.
Absolutely. Yes. Holly, you and I have talked a lot about the day our sons were born. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we've initially bonded on was that we were not allowed to really celebrate.
Absolutely.
That our kids were alive.
Mm-hmm.
It was a sorry. It was, I have bad news for you.
Right.
We don't know how to tell you this. What was that like for you with Nate the Great? Nate the Great.
Nate the Great. Do you know he's going on to high school?
Oh, my God.
Come on. Well,
so
that
crazy.
Was 14 years ago, you guys, that he was born. And right here, downtown Chicago, fifth child. Thought it would be just like all the others. And unfortunately, upon birth, they thought he looked a little bit different. And their heads all went down. No eye contact from the doctors or the nurses. I'm looking for anybody, for anything to say to give me some comfort. And instead, they said, I'm sorry, but we believe your son has Down syndrome. And when anyone says sorry to after the birth, you think death.
Sure.
You think something horrific. So, they brought us as a family into darkness. They brought me as a mother into tremors. I panicked. I freaked out. And I lost those days that you should have been given with a congratulations.
Joy.
It would have changed the entire trajectory of his beginning.
Right.
It took me days to get over that. And to my mother's beautifulness, she came into the room as my husband and I were crying and said, what are you crying about? I said, well, Mom, our son has Down syndrome. Without skipping a beat, she goes, he's alive, isn't he?
Yes.
Quit crying.
And that's what's so remarkable is that there's so many people. 2 weeks ago, a little over now, almost 3 weeks, on the 4th of July, I was in the studio. And Michael Heideman, my producer, we have a system where he passes along texts that, you know, are part of the conversation, you know, are that contribute that and, you know, celebratory ones. And there are people who, because they're anonymous behind the keyboard, will text some of the most vile, ugly things that I've ever seen in my entire life. And, we put ourselves out there as people in the media, people in politics, in the public eye.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael wasn't here that night. It was a holiday, and our producer, Lise, was in that seat. And I said, just print out some of the texts.
Mm-hmm.
And the text that I got was, I'm so tired of hearing about your retarded kid.
Oh, my God.
And they said, you know, I don't believe in abortion, but maybe women like you shouldn't be allowed to have babies if they can't handle special needs. Mm. Your child is going to be a burden on the state of Illinois. It's just another bed we're going to have to pay for the rest of his life, right? And I was so shocked, and I didn't even mention it on the air that night, but it went on, and it was a long diatribe of how I never should have had Declan, stop going to Springfield with your hand out, and I wasn't going to get into it with that listener, but it was so ugly, and somebody asked me one day how I keep going, how mm-hmm. I deal with that kind of stuff, and I think that a lot of us probably do this. I continue to expect the best from people.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I'm going to get disappointed, and it's going to hurt when I do, because mm-hmm. I have these high expectations mm-hmm. that people are going to be better than that. I would rather get angry and get disappointed every once in a while mm-hmm. than walk around pissed and expect that people are going to be assholes.
And let's say something to this person who wrote you this letter. Thank you for the grace of God that Declan was given to you and not her.
Well,
I mean, no, let's be honest. Seriously. Thank God you're his mother. Thank God you're his advocate. Thank God you're the advocate to billions. And thank God that she is in few numbers. Well, actually, probably not as many as
and
few
that was,
as we
and
think.
And that's the part that I think is important. That's one person who put it out there like that.
Right.
So Governor Rauner has wiped the slate clean in his office, hasn't he, Representative Anderson?
For the most part. I mean, certainly not everybody, but there's been major house cleaning. No one can question that.
And he has brought in people who have an extreme agenda.
He's brought in people from the Illinois Policy Institute, which is a very, very conservative think tank, yes. Mm-hmm.
And his director of communications is a woman named Brittany Klingon, mm-hmm. who apparently several years ago wrote on Huffington Post that abortion, it was used, and she goes, you know, I don't mean to compare it to the Holocaust, mm-hmm. but, you know, it is used for eugenics because people are trying to eliminate disabled children.
Right.
And, you know, I don't even know where to begin with that, because it puts her in the same camp as the person who texted my show. To even, you know, bring those two things up in the same sentence, that, you know, she's saying that everyone should be, should carry a child to term, mm-hmm. and not be allowed to choose that they can't have this baby for whatever reason. And another person says that I should not have had Declan, that I should have aborted him. Right. And it's so bizarre to me to have somebody in such a high office position in the state of Illinois. It's a significant position to be someone who shapes the message of the governor's office, to say that, look, you know, that we want to make sure that disabled children are all born. And yet you and I, when we had our children, mm-hmm. the way it happens in the state of Illinois and across the country and in probably most parts of the world, when our children were born, mm-hmm. backs are turned the Absolutely. Moment they are born.
Absolutely.
Everyone apologizes. Everyone's sorry. Everyone abandons you. And you have to fight, and you have some people who are warriors for you, mm-hmm. but do not talk about our children as though you want to bring every life into the world and that they are sacred, mm-hmm. and you will be there for them.
Right, when you're not. You're when not. There's no one there, actually.
No. So don't talk about as though every life is celebrated, because the They're fact not. Is every mom that is in our situation can tell you that
and then
we're treated like, well, didn't you know? Well, why did you have him? Or, you know, what did you do that caused this?
Or we're tired of hearing your story. Or we're tired of hearing your story. You said it before.
Yeah.
Okay, he's already here. What do you want? What mm-hmm. do you want from us? We want everything
dignity,
that
and it goes
your
back
child,
to what we were talking about earlier.
We want the sure. same thing that your child has. We want equal rights. We want the same respect. We want everything that you get. We're not asking for more. That's what people aren't understanding. We're not asking for more. We want the same. We want equal. We want respect.
It's excellent.
Inclusion, awareness, acceptance, understanding.
I mean,
really?
I just think about, you know, like I said, I'm a big advocate for mental health issues, and it's not exactly the same, but there's a lot of the similar feelings that happens when,
sure.
when you have a child, for example, who in their early teens, you know, tries to kill themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tries to do something like that. Unlike a child who is diagnosed with cancer, mm-hmm. you know, where suddenly everybody knows about it, the school knows about it, there's a bake sale, there's,
yes.
you know,
there's sympathy and empathy.
There's love,
yes.
there's
yes.
compassion. You have a child who suffers mental illness in a variety of ways. You know what happens? Silence.
We know.
There's shame.
Absolute
we know.
Silence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's something that I fight strongly against in the General Assembly, is that fight against the shame, you know, against that silence.
There's right. a knee-jerk reaction to the horrific stories, like you mentioned, a child with cancer. There's a knee-jerk to come rallying to help. And there, but for the grace of God, go I. Thank God it's not my child. But we also get that same, thank God it's not my child.
Yeah.
But instead of coming to the bake sale, and instead of coming to rally, they run away. And my whole life has so far since Nate's been born has been about, can you talk at the kitchen table, please? Can you talk and educate your children to not run away
right.
from my son? Because
sure.
he's just a boy. And with mental illness, they're just a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And with a child with cancer, he needs you too. We all need each other. This isn't brain surgery. I'm not changing the wheel.
No.
I just want everybody to educate that we all need the same services. We all need the same respect. We all need the same love.
And that's what's so just maddening when it comes to the way we approach democracy. Representative Martwick and I have a lot of conversations about what democracy is and what and why we're here. I mean, why? I mean, this is an experiment. When it comes right down to it, the idea of government and how we approach that and how we what the function is and how we come to we work together is an experiment, and it's not. It's messy.
Yeah, you know, it's. It's the worst form of government, but the best one we've got, right? And
mm-hmm.
and I think it's wonderful, right? We talk about this budget that we passed. I was just giving a speech to a group of people, a neighborhood group, and someone said, "Is it a good budget?" And I said, "Well, it's not everything I want, mm-hmm. but if it was everything I'd want, then it wouldn't be a democracy; it'd be a dictatorship, and I'd be the dictator, which would be good for me, but not for anybody else, really." But you know, we have a system that says everyone gets a voice, everyone gets an opinion, and we'll weigh those out and we'll have a vote and we'll see what carries the day. And that's messy, right? It's hard to accomplish things. But, you know, we talk about this, and as we talk about things like mental health and disabilities and you know, it's something is striking to me, right? We make these cuts because we can't afford things because of our financial troubles. And one of the things we always hear is cut the waste, cut the waste, cut the waste. And I agree. I firmly, absolutely agree that when we have financial troubles, we should look to cut the waste. But the thing that amazes me, it's just ringing around in my head right now, is the fact that while we're cutting services for our most vulnerable citizens that we as a society have a moral obligation to care for, we are wasting $1 billion a year in extra penalty interest on our debt simply because we can't come together to solve our financial problems. So if we solved our financial problems and we improved our credit ratings, we could save $1 billion a year. Imagine what we could do with an extra $1 billion a year without raising taxes, mm-hmm. right? We just have to be fiscally responsible. And the idea that we would let things go so far that we'd be wasting $1 billion a year in penalty interest mm-hmm. to the bondholders as opposed to spending it on services for your children mm-hmm. and for people with mental health is, that drives me crazy.
And to add to that, mm-hmm. just one of the incredible things is right now, we've got $15 billion worth of backlog of bills, right? We're going to bond to pay those off and infuse our economy with about $8 billion worth of money, you know, to providers, to small businesses, medium business, large businesses. We're going to do that. You know what happened? The other day, we get criticized by a certain interest group that says, you know what the state is doing? They're borrowing money to pay the bills. Well, you know what? We're already borrowed
the
money. We've
been borrowing.
We borrowed from the vendors, and we're paying it like 9%. Instead, we're going to borrow at 3% and save money. And yet still the dialogue is we're doing something wrong. It's crazy.
Well, let's when we come back, we have a listener on hold. This is always my favorite part of the show is that people listen for like the first two or three segments, and they're like, okay, now I'm ready to call. So join us, 312-981-7200. You can call or text us, as I said before. The texts that get through are the ones that are contributing and or kind. If you're going to be hateful, Elliot's not here to do angry texts. Maybe Dave Lundy will do those
later. None of my Facebook followers, I'll tell you. I'm just, I'd never make it through.
More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, making my producer nuts because I'm taking selfies while we're during the break. And the music started. He's like, we're back. Hello, we're back. Hello, hello, anybody?
Sorry.
Thank you, Michael, for being so patient with me.
Anytime.
We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Holly Simon. She is the CEO and founder of I Am Who I Am. She has launched an amazing entrepreneurial effort to employ all children. And celebrating children with all kinds of disabilities as well. And I'm hoping we can bring that to the Northwest side.
We can bring it everywhere.
Exactly. We also have in studio with us Representative Steve Anderson and Representative Robert Martwick. I can't help it.
It's okay.
Representative Anderson. There's two S's. It's
possessive. Anderson.
Anderson.
Right?
Oh, that's what I should do. Anderson.
That's right.
I'll pause.
If only my father's name was Ander.
Ander.
And then it would work.
Anderson. That would be so many S's. Deborah wanted to join our conversation. Hi, Deborah. How are you doing?
I'm fine. This is Deborah Vines. How are you?
Hey Deborah! As we blow out the mic. I have a pair of your glasses, by the way, on my buffet at home, just so you know.
Yep. She's got the coolest glasses.
She does have rhinestones.
You know, I've been listening to you guys. I was actually in the car, and I couldn't call because I was paying attention to the weather, but you guys are doing an amazing job of representing. Thank you so much for everything that you do. I not only advocate for autism, but I advocate for you guys as well because you're doing the best that you can with what you're working with, and I just appreciate you. Holly, you are amazing.
Thanks, baby.
You are my hero.
Oh,
So are you, Patty.
Well, so are you. And by the way, this is Deborah Vines, who has The Answer. Mm-hmm. And you go to The Answer. Is it theanswer.com?
Incorporated.
Mm-hmm. .org.
And we've talked a lot about what happens after our kids age out of programs.
Deborah has a son with autism. And gosh, you are one of the biggest warriors I've ever known, Deborah. So keep it up.
And Thank you so much. We are all in this together.
You know it.
Deborah, can I just say thank you for the kind compliment? These days, there aren't many that come our way. So I just looked at Representative Anderson. And we both looked at each other and we were like, I think you made my week. So thank you very much.
There's a lot of people who appreciate the work that you do.
You're welcome. Just know that I am advocating for all the legislators. I mean, except that guy, but
Yeah, Deborah and I did not take. When we had pictures taken with Governor Rauner, I tried to smile. You look like you wanted to hurt the man with your spiked heels.
She could.
Yeah.
I'm a bit upset, you know, and I hear the cries from the families, and I had to just take the day off because, you know, it was just, you just digest so much because we, as advocates, we hear so much of the personal side and how this is just really hitting our families, not just in underserved communities, but across the board. So, you know, just pray for us, viewing audience. Pray for the advocates that's really fighting for your families.
Thank you. You're
Thank
right.
Thank you, Deborah.
You're right.
That's for you, too. Deborah, I need to see you soon. I think we'll do a roundtable.
I think absolutely.
Yeah, we'll just do an hour.
I'm not saying you guys can't come or anything.
Well,
I'm just saying, you know.
Can hang out.
Yeah.
I'll bring the cookies. You bring whatever else is necessary.
Holly, this is your duty. Set it up.
Okay.
All right.
Yes,
All
ma'am.
Right.
Yes,
Set
ma'am.
It up. Make
yes,
it happen.
Ma'am.
You just got an assignment.
Dude. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's how you get things done. Thank you, Deborah. Be safe. Okay.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you more.
Hey. Oh wow. I to the moon. Mm-hmm. Well, to the moon and back.
And the moon.
Hey, Ken. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very well. What do you want to say, sir?
Well, Patty, I think it's a wonderful thing that you're talking about, and it's great because it's not easy for any of these families. To bring up an autistic child, I don't wish it upon anybody. I knew a child when I was growing up in the 70s when we used the R word to describe him, because he truly was. But he's the most special person in the whole wide world. That man knows so much more than I do, and it's amazing who he is.
Yeah, well, thank you for noticing that part. Thank you. That's great. That's great. Thank you for noticing what a good person he is.
I mean, the man reads more books than I could fathom to read. I'm not a big reader, but this man knows so much from everything he's read.
Well, Ken, what makes you angry? Because it sounds like you had something you wanted to point out.
What makes me angry? We all want to help everybody. But in the state of Illinois, that so much money is wasted in the bureaucracy that I have, that the state is paying five people to do one job, and they're all getting a pension, and you've got to be kidding me. You know, government is not always the best streamlining things.
Representative? Yes.
Sure. You're certainly right. There is waste, fraud, and abuse throughout. But the question of whether or not there's five people doing the job of one, I don't know that that's true. Actually, if you look at Illinois, we're the fifth largest state in the union, and we have one of the lowest per capita number of state employees mm-hmm. in the union as well. So it's not a given that we're you know, flush with employees. Quite frankly, a lot of people complain because we don't have enough employees to process things. Give an example, the Illinois Department of Insurance doesn't have enough people to process those insurance complaints where mm-hmm. insurance companies deny coverage. Takes months and months and months right. while people wait for that. So I get the complaint, but if you listen to what Representative Martwick said a few moments ago, I would challenge you anywhere else in our budget to find $1 billion worth of waste that he was able to identify in about 10 seconds. That's waste.
Right.
The rest of it, you could spend more money rooting it out than actually finding it in these little places. So, yeah, should we always be better? Should we always be working proactively to find and rid ourselves of that sort of fraud and waste and abuse? Absolutely.
Right.
But let's not forget the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is most of the programs that we do in Illinois are laudatory. They're good. They're beneficial. Not all. Not all. And when we find ones that are bad, we get rid of them.
Indeed.
But let's not forget that most of what we do is good and valuable and helpful to our people.
We have more conversation coming up after the news. Holly, you hanging out for another segment?
I don't think so.
All right, then. Holly, call it. She called it. She's like, that's it for me. Holly, how can people find out more about I Am?
They can come and visit our website. We are at www.iam-whoiam.com. We're on Facebook, mm-hmm. Instagram, Twitter. You know what? If you'd like to get involved, give me a call, okay? 773-547-3300. And please come and help us give our children a future.
Holly, don't let it be so long. I know that it's hard. You have to just be on me. you have to like just keep emailing me. I know that
we had Deborah's going to be on me, so I'm going to be on you.
Well, that happened. More with our show when we come back after the news. 312-981-7200. We've been doing Budget Crisis Corner and Freak Out Friday. I don't know. This is kind of like it's a little bit of decompressing, a little bit of debriefing. You know, let it all settle in. I know that you guys have been under a lot of pressure and a lot of social media commentary, a lot of opinions coming your way.
Don't forget the death threats.
Yeah, I won't forget the death threats.
Yes, I am.
And yeah, a lot. Yeah, that's really. I mean, come on, people, be better than that. See, and that's what I say. I'd rather be disappointed than angry all the time, but sometimes I'm just disappointed. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I hope that you are safe and well wherever you are. There's a lot of rain coming down tonight. Elliot Serrano was unable to join us tonight. He was having some power issues at home. Damn. And I know, Eric, is your sump pump working right now?
You know, it is. My dad is in Gurnee. My brother, my sister, two sisters.
Sisters?
They're all up there. Plurals
are tough this late at night, especially after the Cubs lost today.
After the Cubs, after the Hawks convention.
Is that like Newhart?
Anderson sisters.
Is that like Newhart? My sister, my
big
other
shout
sister?
Out to our chairman in Lake County, Aaron Lawler.
Yes.
On all the flood issue, he's really actually done a good job. It's, he was very happy that the governor finally got on board and called him like 48 hours after the fact.
Can we talk about that for a moment, gentlemen? We have Representative Steve Anderson in studio with us. We also have Representative Robert Martwick. Dave Lundy of Aileron. By the way, I listened to Beyond the Beltway, so I don't have to say like your titles anymore. Apparently, I just like of Aileron. And Ken Jacobowski
of Sirius.
Which is the least of his problems. Of Sirius. And Eric Elk of Fulcrum. And I don't even have your districts. I only know the 19th. Yours is the
65th.
We're the Rootin' Tootin' 19th. What would you like to call yours?
Well, everybody always calls theirs the Fighting, right?
The Fighting.
We're
fine with Rootin' Tootin'.
I like Rootin' Tootin'.
Yeah, it's a little bit like the Wild West, but in a fun way.
Yeah.
Kind of in a sort of a cartoon way, which is, it's fine. So the governor, the floods happen on Tuesday. Horrendous rains, constant rain. The water levels, the Desplaines River, it reaches a level of historic magnitude, right?
Absolutely.
And the governor of Wisconsin declares a national
disaster.
He's
down there.
Yeah.
He's down
in
a rowboat. He's on the border. He's helping out. Lake County chairman signs his declaration Wednesday.
Can I just note that our loudest Republican is the one yelling about our governor of Illinois?
Sorry.
No, that's good. People should be yelling about the governor regardless of party. That's the thing. You should be yelling about when things fail. When somebody fails the people of Illinois.
Whiskey Tango.
Foxtrot. Wow. I'm going to turn your mic. You know what? Can someone get him some nachos? In a situation like that, have you seen that, Representative Martwick, in the time that you have been in the legislature where the governor has waited? So, I mean, Governor Quinn had also suffered from this where he, took a little too long. Comparing it isn't necessarily helpful when they're suffering.
Right. He clearly did not handle it well, right? There are a lot of things, as you know, that I'm happy to beat the governor up over because of things that we disagree with the way that he's handled our budget crisis. I'd like to think that in the midst of all of these staff changes, his staff just kind of missed out on it. I don't know. I guess it's a big faux pas. It's unfortunate. I know.
Dave, when you hear someone says, "Well, we were in the middle of staff changes," tough titties about your basement.
I think as a Democrat on this panel, I think that you have to feel really sorry for the governor. Here he is. He's trying to purge his administration of anybody who's sane and rational, and replace them with a bunch of extremist ideologue amateurs.
Amateurs.
And so it's hard for the poor man. And, of course, he didn't have the brains to get his butt 3.8 miles from his house in Winnetka, up across the border in Lake County.
Okay,
I do this ride all the time. I ride my bike up there all the time from the governor's house to Lake County. It is 3.8 miles exactly. What a schmuck.
Well, he couldn't get there because of the rain and the floods.
Oh, fair.
I got there on my bike.
I have an inflatable canoe.
Where was deputy governor? She lives in Lincolnshire.
Oh.
Well,
Representative Anderson,
yes.
Did you notice what's changed since our friends have joined us in the studio?
Yeah, it got a little different.
But so far the Republican and the Democrat have yelled. You guys, we've been doing the show for an hour. There's been no yelling. Maybe I got a little bit loud.
We're very civilized.
Well, I yelled at Steve before we went on the air.
Yes, we were yelling off mic. Yes, Ken?
No, I yelled at Steve before we went on the air.
Did you really?
Sure. Well, yeah.
Do you want to yell about the budget? Let's take a break and you can yell.
We already did. I did that off air. And I think we covered it.
He agreed. I was right. It was okay. All good.
It should have been a unanimous vote. It should have been a unanimous vote. Anybody who thinks they're a hero for voting on this is just nuts because it should have been unanimous.
He does not claim himself to be a hero at all.
I know.
And I don't think anyone claimed to be a hero. I will say that because I was in the press box as this was going on, as they were, you know, getting down to the last final days and when they did the override itself, there was no joy, as you saw that I talked about. No, there was no joy on either side of the aisle. It wasn't even like relief wasn't even tangible. It was kind of like, okay, we've done that. It really felt like, okay, now what?
And that's what I'm concerned about is the now what, because they didn't deal with the now what. Those folks who voted against this should be ashamed of themselves.
Exactly. But it wasn't a now what, like, oh crap, what do we do? Excuse me.
That was very close. Thank you very much.
Yeah. But it was kind of like, okay, that part is over. Let's move on to the next thing that moves this forward. How do we build off of what we've created here, what we've been able to accomplish? That was my sense of it.
And we did accomplish something. Let's make no mistake. I mean, 2.5 years without anything, we are now in a place where we have a balanced budget. Now we do have more to do. We've got school funding to do.
And again, I've gotten a lot of comments on Facebook, you know, where people will say things like, what do you think, you deserve a pat on the back? And it's like, I've never said I deserve a pat on the back. But what we did do was we prevented the state from going off the cliff. And the damage that would have been done.
Oh, there's no question about that.
Unconscionable.
And those who did not vote for this are cowards.
See, but the problem I have is with what I call the posture caucus. You know, the Dave McSweeney's of the world who sit there, and I'm sorry, I'm outing your colleague, the Dave McSweeney's of the world, who sit there saying, we don't need any tax revenue. They go fully with the IPI program, and it's as if they've...
Dave's got his own program.
Yeah, he does.
He has his own program.
And I've seen him try to hammer it out in the no-name bar at the, we won't say what hotel, but anyway.
But he and many of his fellow folks down there, and the Tribune editorial board, it's like they threw away their calculator years ago. Yeah. And it makes me insane. You know, I've talked about this before. I'm a numbers guy. I just want to see the math.
Yeah.
So if what you're showing me is something that does not add up, I will call you on it not adding up, whether you are Rob Martwick or Steve Anderson. Because you gotta have the
odds
budget
are good
work.
If it's Steve, it won't.
You know what happened?
That's all right. But there's a different sort of math that frustrates me down there, and that's government 101 math, right? Is that you've got these people and their friends and colleagues of mine who voted no and said we have a better way, we have a better plan, and I believe them. I think they might have had a better plan. But the question is, do you have the frickin' votes?
Ooh.
Thank you.
And the answer is no, never, not even close. So stop talking about these great plans that you don't have the votes for. Because that guy out on the street right there, he might have a better plan than all of us. But unfortunately, he doesn't have the votes either.
We have to deal
with what's real and what's doable in that room at that moment.
And neither does the governor. And this is what I keep trying to explain to friends of mine, frankly, on both sides of the aisle, who are like, well, you know, you got to go along with the governor's plans. I said, the governor doesn't have the votes.
Well, he doesn't.
He needs 60 and 30. And he got elected saying, I've been successful in everything I've ever done. And yeah, but that wasn't the question. The question was, how are you going to get to 60 and 30?
And the other thing is, his plan constantly changed. Where the goalposts were. I mean, he's worse than Lucy and the football.
Look, from where I sit,
I agree with that. But also, at this point, we need more than 1630.
Yes.
You know, so
71
like,
and 36.
Let's get to, you know, I mean, like, it's simple math. And, you know, the only thing that I would say is I don't disagree, Rep. Anderson, Rep. Martwick, you know, we needed to do something. I just wished after so many months, years, we would have got some sort of reform. You know, and we talked about this 2 weeks ago, Rep. Martwick, some sort of reform. If we're gonna hold out this long, let's get something.
Well, that was the Crane's editorial. What do you got to show for it?
And that's where I was coming from. Eric and I, amazingly, a progressive liberal, and Eric, whose buddies are all out now looking for work.
Thanks to Governor Rauner. But wait,
right,
but before we go to break, real quick, on the air, can we
that
just
was
like,
smooth.
Can, everybody's got something here. I mean,
he saw your
Sean,
finger on the button.
Cheers. What are we
Sean?
Doing?
But I want to respond to that
Sean's
when we
out?
Come back.
Sean's out? Who should, what?
What?
Spicy.
I'm going to miss him.
I'm going to miss McCartney.
That's what
now.
I'm going to miss.
Oh, they can do spicy shopping, spicy at the bar, spicy watching Trump on TV.
And I got to tell you, Scaramouche, the mooch, is going to provide
lots of fodder. It's over. Forget about it.
And Sanders today, did you notice what she did differently?
No.
Big eyelashes. Oh. She had never had them on before.
Sexy.
First time.
Okay. All right,
she's
got
to go to break.
Hold on, let me go to break. Let me more after this on 720 WGN. People sing around. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm going to leave all mics off but one. Well, two, actually. There are a lot of people who have disappointment with the state budget that was passed. And one of my guests in studio asked if they could address the issue that was brought up by our friend Eric Elk in regards to, you know, I just wish there had been more reform after all these months, after all these years of not having a budget. Why wasn't there more reform in this?
Sure.
Representative Anderson?
Sure. And I appreciate the chance to talk about that because that's been one of the biggest criticisms, right? But let's take it in two steps. One, there were reforms. There were reforms. We did procurement reform. Huge. The ability of the state to buy and sell things, or mostly buy things, had been enormously affected by the procurement rules, which made it so expensive for the state to buy anything. It was prohibitive. We fixed that. Okay, we fixed that.
And the thing that is maddening is that I knew that, right? And I know what you're going to say next, so I want you to continue as well. But we, you know, for people who are like, it's a Friday night, I don't want to worry about these things. So many people worry about this. They're angry, and the message has been shaped by outside forces.
Sure.
And this is the part that I want people to focus on.
Right. So it's kind of boring. I get that. But it's real savings all the way around. Then another one that was very popular, huge in most campaigns, was government consolidation, right? Mm-hmm. We did government consolidation. We've accomplished that. Representative Yingling ran the bill. We voted for it. We passed it. It's there. Is it perfect? Is it everything the governor wanted? No. But is it good? Yeah, it's real good. And then the third one, which I like to talk about that no one talks about, is part of the turnaround agenda's reform was about criminal justice reform, about reducing our prison population, okay? We have passed so many darn bills in the category of criminal justice reform, things like ban the box, bail reform, things like that, both this session and last session. Nobody gives any credit to that, any credence to that.
I'll take it.
No, you give me stuff all the time. Good right now.
Oh, wow. All right. You know what? I'm going to donate that to somebody else then.
There you go.
Yes, there you go.
I will donate that to Holly Simon's organization for the kids who are making some of the greatest bath products. How's that sound?
That is wonderful.
I love it. Well, thank you, Carrie, for helping us all
out. That's very generous of her. That's nice.
That's very nice.
I could have given her some bath products. I should do that as well.
Yeah, and we really should keep in mind there are folks that are dealing with some incredible flooding issues tonight. I mean, this is just a terrible disaster.
312-981-7200. If you're experiencing some more flooding tonight, if the weather is extreme where you are, please let us know so we can warn others and so that we know what's going on in your community. 312-981-7200. I know that this is the worst that could happen to some of the folks that are up in Gurnee and along the Des Plaines River. And this is the last thing you want to see happen is some heavy rainfall. And it's so disheartening. I mean, it's like it, I've had my basement flood before, and I've never had our entire, you know, all of our belongings ruined, but, you know, you kind of think, oh, it's never going to happen. It's like anything else. You're like, ah, we're fine.
Mike Hamernick is now reporting that Northeast Iowa has flash flooding. They have rescue crews going out there now trying to get people out of that area.
So everyone, please be careful on the roads. Eric, do you want to say something?
No, just growing up in Gurnee, it was always, you know, every year, whether it was the spring or the summer with the Des Plaines River, it was the worst thing ever. And I think the village did a really good job acquiring a ton of property, working with the feds and the state and the county. Thankfully, they've gotten a lot of people out of that floodplain and opened up the space to allow the ground to absorb a lot of that water. But it still impacts so many families, and it's devastating.
Rep. Marwick, how did we fix that? Because it seems to have gotten better in our area. Because in the 90s and the 2000s, we had some pretty severe weather that flooded a lot of basements. Jeff Park, Portage Park, that area.
Well,
because I always hear about the rain gutters and the deep drainage tunnel help.
So the infrastructure that we've been building has been helping. The problem is that the weather that you see now, these 100-year storms, that used to happen once every 100 years, now happen once every 3 years.
That was what I saw in the 2000s.
And that's right. And so now what we've got is that, and when we the last 100-year storm about 3 years ago, when we did get, so there was a section west of us in Dunning, where they got 6 feet of water in their basements, and here's the crazy thing, right? So the way that works is it goes into the sewers, mm-hmm. and then it goes into like a deeper sewer, and then it goes into the deep tunnel. But eventually, the water gets so heavy that it will back up, and there's an emergency outflow into the Des Plaines River. Well, the Des Plaines River got so high,
right,
that it backed into the emergency outflow and backfilled people's basements. 6 feet of water for a week in their basement.
Wow. Yeah.
And so when we brought in the people from the Chicago and the Chicago
Metropolitan Water Reclamation District,
Metropolitan Water Reclamation District, but there's a city agency that also handles that too, mm-hmm. a Department of Sewers, I guess. And we talked about it. The infrastructure necessary to it would be billions and billions and billions of dollars to be able to handle all of this water. So it really has to be done on a
federal level.
Not even a federal level, really on a neighborhood level. It's going to have to be people doing things like permeable pavers and putting in little bio swales in there. You know, have you ever seen these where people put, instead of having grass on their front yard, they literally dig down and they put these tall grasses. It looks like they have a prairie growing in their little bungalow.
I had no idea. How do we tell more people to do that?
Oh, my God. This is so fascinating.
And I know.
I'm a municipal attorney in the suburbs, right? So we've developed whole subdivisions that are based on what you're talking about.
Yeah.
What? So that we don't have to have this problem.
Just imagine if ever we have, you know, if ever there's global warming, just imagine how bad it would be. I mean, it's incredible.
Okay, wait. Well,
the
wait.
Science is real.
I need to, well, let's take a break here. I need to go and live Snowflakes. In this area for a little bit because it's pertinent. It's what's happening right now, both what happened with our flooding last week, the heavy rainfall right now. 312-981-7200. Let us know what's going on in your community. Are you getting a lot of rain? Are you flooding? Is there a power outage in your neighborhood? Because I know that there were some issues earlier with that. 312-981-7200. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. It is a wet, rainy night, and some of you are struggling with the weather. We want to know what's going on in your neck of the woods. 312-981-7200. Joining me in studio is Eric Elk of Fulcrum. That's it. That's all you get now. There's no other titles.
Patty, that's fantastic, and I'll take it.
Just thank
for 1,000.
Thank Chris
Roebling.
Fighting
nope. Fulcrum?
Nothing. No, thank nothing. Chris Roebling, Mr. Lundy. Dave Lundy of Aileron.
Yeah, I don't even get communications anymore.
I will not thank Chris Roebling
that's it,
ever.
Aileron.
FYI.
Yeah, and Ken Jacobowski of Sirius. We also have, they do get titles, by the way, Representative Robert Martwick of the Rootin' Tootin'.
Oh, sure. 19th. They get titles.
Yes, they do.
More privilege of being elected.
I'm just...
You think it's a privilege?
The Rootin' Tootin' 19th, yeah.
Not
and
lately.
Representative Steve Anderson of the 65th, the Fightin' 65th. We, before the break, Representative Martwood was talking about the movement to encourage residents in our area to remove their, because we had our lawn replaced, and if I had known about the option to use, you said tall grasses that were better for flooding conditions?
Yeah, so the city of Chicago actually will give you some, I believe they have like a discount on these prairie grasses and stuff. So the concept is this. Typical grass is just a very little, what we think of as the typical Chicago front lawn.
Right.
Is a very little bit of dirt and a lot of clay underneath it. And so it doesn't really soak up the water. It just pushes the water out to the sidewalk and it runs down into the street and goes into the sewers. And that's what backs up
our
basements.
By the way, if you have anything covering the drains, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Because then it backs up to all the other drains and now it's going to go into the basements of the neighboring.
That's exactly right. And so the idea is that instead of investing billions of dollars in infrastructure, if we could find a way, and I actually had a bill that would actually encourage this, it would have given an additional homeowner's exemption to help people defray the costs of putting in measures in their home that helps them hold the water and not dump it into the sewers, right? So if we could get everybody to hold a little bit of water onto their property and not dump it into the sewers, we wouldn't have all these problems with basements flooding and so on and so forth.
Oh my God.
This isn't going to really solve like huge rivers over flooding, but it does make an effect because when we flood, when that water goes into the sewers and we can't handle it, we dump it into the rivers and that's what causes all of this massive flooding. So, you know, so anyway, the bio swale, they call it, and that is you dig out your front lawn, you dig down deep, you throw in rocks and then stone and then gravel and then sand and then dirt, and you plant these prairie grasses, and it's really pretty. It's this beautiful sort of natural prairie on your little front bungalow.
I'll do a prairie on my lawn.
Yes, and it's really, and they just soak up the water and then they let it evaporate slowly instead of dumping it into the infrastructure and causing flooding problems.
Little prairie on the house.
Well, what's
hey, cool, Allure Ingalls, right here, my friend.
What's cool about this is I like hearing about it in the urban setting, but in the suburban setting, which is, of course, the areas I represent, we've been doing this for years. I've literally developed, I'm a municipal attorney by trade, right? So I developed during the heyday when we were building a lot, back in the good old days. We would develop thousands of acres exactly this way, and we would be able to solve some of these perennial flooding problems in our area, and we really have. We've changed the nature of Kane County, for example, by doing exactly this. It's a little harder in Chicago because, you know, you're a little more built up than we are.
More built up.
It's also when you have like house after house, you've seen my block where it's like every lawn looks exactly the same. And my mom wanted to do something different with the lawn too, but I thought, well, we don't want to like change things up. We don't want to be that family that's being kind of eclectic or, you know, eccentric. But now that you say that, I mean, it makes sense, and maybe we can be an influence on people in our neighborhood to go, oh, let's try something different to alleviate this problem.
And that's, you know, and what Steve's talking about, we don't have that luxury of saying, let's take a big 1,000 acres in the city. We don't have that, right?
No.
So what we do is...
I got a quarter acre, I think.
Yeah, no, you don't even have that, I'm sure.
Maybe 8?
25-foot wide lot.
Yeah.
Standard Chicago lot. 25 by 100?
25 by,
no, by
125.
75.
25 by 125 is a Chicago lot. Yeah. And so the idea is to get everybody to just hold a little bit of water because we are so overbuilt, there's just nowhere for the water to go. And
right.
It's really fascinating. It really is. It's.
I didn't realize where we were going with this conversation. That's pretty cool.
Several years ago, we did a whole program at the Shed with a good friend, Roger German.
Yes.
But the U.S. House subcommittee had a hearing on this. And, you know, they were talking about, you know, the whole issue of flooding and the water flow and things like that. And a distinguished member of the Congress from the North Shore at the time, that's when he came up with the term of cheesehead sewage water.
Cheesehead,
and so I was fortunate enough to field calls from the mayor of Milwaukee and the governor of Wisconsin and things like that. But they do have an issue up north of us with their overflow, and as it relates to coming down south to Illinois, and it does impact us, and
yeah,
that's why a lot of our beaches close throughout the summer because of their overflow and their problems with their sewage water up north in Wisconsin.
Well, and also in Wilmette.
Correct.
Well, the same thing with the lock. But Lochinville Met, when they open their locks when we have too much rain,
yes,
all the sewage comes out of the lakefronts. So we close the beaches repeatedly when there's a lifeguard.
Well, the same with the lockdown here. Don't just blame it on us. It's not all our fault.
But I am saying.
Do you hear Will Met? And you're like, hey.
Dave. It's all good. I'm actually trying to blame our friends to the north.
Yeah.
Blame the cheeseheads. It's all Scott Walker's fault.
Completely. You know, the beaches never closed when I was there because of Wisconsin. It was always because of Will Met.
Exactly.
Because your poop goes south, is all I'm saying.
Well, their stuff does not stink.
And again, this
is... Yeah, it does. I've swam in their stuff. It's nasty. Yeah, hey. I have. Not to sound like
the flaming liberal here, but apparently I am. But, you know, you think about it. One of the problems that we have, especially with our riverways, you talk about what's happening there, is that we've decided, well, that's prime property. Let's build right up on top of it. The rivers were never meant to do that.
Exactly. No.
When the water rises, the rivers were meant to just slowly disseminate and let that soak into the ground. We don't give it anywhere to go, so we build up the rivers to force it. And what we do is we force all that stuff downstream.
Yes.
So the further you get downstream, the more the flooding gets. You get a bad rain up here, I guarantee you, downstate in Illinois, it's going to be a disaster tomorrow because all of this rain is going to get down there and it's going to flood their communities.
Yeah. Well, that was a thing when I used to travel across the country when I was working in North Dakota when they had all the floods in Fargo. I mean, there were communities that were completely destroyed. And they're still recovering. I mean, the entire town was annihilated.
Well, same with Missouri and Iowa. I mean, all those areas just west of the Mississippi, we went through this horrible flooding about 15, 20 years ago. And these communities were devastated. Wasn't it a couple of years ago that I forgot who it was. I think it was somebody in Missouri wanted Cairo to be flooded.
To alleviate the flooding.
Exactly. Yes. So they wanted to say, well, you know, Cairo's not there. Just let it go. Sacrifice it.
Right. Yeah. I know, Ken, you've got to be itching to talk about Spicy. So let's...
oh, we're going to miss him.
I know. And what are they calling the new guy?
Moochie. I have to just read one thing before the break. I promise it's short.
We got a call from Gurney.
Okay. Here's what I'll tell you about the president. He's the most competitive person I've ever met. I've seen this guy throw a dead spiral through a tire. I've seen him at Madison Square Garden with a top coat on and he's hitting foul shots and swishing them. He sinks 3-foot putts. I don't see this as a guy who's ever under siege. Ladies and gentlemen, your new communications director.
Hello.
Wonder why Donald Trump liked this guy. Now, mind you, a year and a half earlier.
I'm sorry, that's a puckering.
That was a pucker. Yes. No, he sucked up right there.
Yeah, you mentioned the YouTube thing?
Yeah. A year and a half earlier, he had savaged Trump because Trump was going after hedge fund guys, which he's won. And there's a 3.5-minute clip, if you can go out on the internet and find it, of him on Fox's The Five, which is the ultimate... show.
Easy.
And
that's aggressive.
It is amazing to watch this guy and the way he flipped and he sucked up so magnificently to the president.
Let's cover this when we come back.
The mooch.
Oh, Michael, I need you to cue up Minnie the Moocher. Well done, Michael. That's Minnie the Moocher, Cab Calloway. By the way, Cab Calloway was a huge star in the late 1920s into the 1930s. And then you see him in Blues Brothers, and we had no idea. Like, my dad was all excited when he saw him in Blues Brothers.
He was awesome in Blues Brothers.
Such a good movie.
Amazing.
You know,
he was
also
more awesome in the 20s and 30s.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. But I mean,
such a cool cab.
Well, he also had a... Oh, wait, no, that was Scatman Crothers. Never mind.
Okay, then. That was in The Shining. Well done, though.
No, actually, not The Shining. All That Jazz.
Who was in The Shining?
I think he was in The Shining, too, wasn't he?
But he was also in All That Jazz.
But I'm saying...
He was the orderly when Roy Scheider was in a delirious, you know...
Kind of like my
ramble.
Show. A little bit. Yeah, excellent. Yeah. According to the 773, this is a ramble. Yes?
It's my state of mind now.
Yeah. Accurate. You were saying we have a texter telling us something about the Kennedy, the
said
Stevens.
290 is a parking lot! !!
So when you're in traffic,
check my travel times again, because because our map is not showing any delays right now.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Call us from your highways. Are you in a standstill?
Are they saying we're on the Eisenhower?
They did not.
Okay. Right. Eisenhower, there's we talked about this before. From Austin to about Harlem, there on the outbound, there are delays, and that's because of that police activity. There was a shooting out there.
But don't text if you're driving.
No.
Let your passenger text.
Well, the thing is, if you're on the 290 and it's a parking lot, presumably you're at a standstill and you can text us. I got
yelled at for texting.
Technically, that's illegal.
Is voice to text illegal as well?
No, not voice.
Well,
you can do anything you want with
it
voice.
Is illegal if you're holding your phone in your hand in order to do the voice texting.
And we do want to update
one
you,
touch.
If I may. This originally started with one lane being shut down. Now it is completely closed. Eastbound I-90-94 between Canalport and Stevenson. Again, police activity.
Wow.
So
wait, eastbound?
Eastbound I-90-94 between Canalport and the Stevenson.
Oh, wow.
It is completely shut down.
Please be careful wherever you are. Linda, you wanted to join the conversation and tell us about some of the flooding issues. Hey, Linda, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I live on the far southeast side, and we have what you call vaulted sidewalks over here. And some whiz kid up in the mayor's office a few years back decided to fill them all in and make little plots so that they could put dirt and grass and plant trees. And when they did this, they cemented in all of our water lines and our sewer lines and that. And if anything goes wrong, we really got to dig down in there. But my complaint is they put this grass out there. We're in vaulted sidewalks. So you have to cut grass. You've got to carry that lawnmower up the stairs from the yards to the front to cut. They also planted trees. Oh, these trees ain't never going to get real big. They're going to be small. Well, guess what? These trees are growing in our front sidewalks. I've got three in front. They're growing, and the sidewalks are cracking. And I've complained to the city now for over 3 years. My sidewalk's cracking. It's cracking. I'm a senior, and especially during the winter, I use a walker. Last winter, as I'm going through there, the walker got caught where the sidewalk is cracking up. Well, now this summer, it's even worse. I almost fell. Now, what happens? You know, nobody's doing anything. The alderman said she was going to try and do something when she came in. And, everybody says, oh, we'll get out there. We're going to check it. But on the south side here, there's several different blocks, and we're vaulted sidewalks. And I know the city wants to look pretty, but they're going to have to find a different way, especially in some of our areas, on doing this.
I'm not familiar with vaulted sidewalks. What is that? Is that like, are they tilted in?
That sounds like a gymnastics term.
No, they raised the land above what it was in order to build the homes. And so there's empty land underneath the sidewalks, actually. And I've been out, and when I worked for the city, we went out into those areas, especially to inspect the sewers at the time, because the sewers had growth coming into them. And they were busting up, and the city had to go in and inspect the sewers and find out which ones needed repairing, replacing. So,
can anyone who has that situation like have that remedied by the city, or are they pretty much stuck? Anyone?
Well, the city is responsible for the sidewalk and the land from the sidewalk to the street.
Right.
So, and that part's what's elevated. The homes are built up over that land also. So the homes are, I mean, if you were to tear away the bottom part of the homes, you would think they were on stilts.
Right.
The city prioritizes what they want to prioritize.
I'm so sorry, Linda. I hope that there's some way that the city will respond to the situation you're in. So thank you so much. We also have Ed on the line. Ed, what do you want to say about the flooding?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I live here in Gurnee, and I felt like I was on an island because there was no way I could go. Everything was flooded, or else there were road closures. And the only way I could go was to ride my motorcycle. It was to go north. And then when I got up by Wisconsin, the roads were flooded, or the roads were caved in. So you know, I just felt like I was on an island. So most of the time, I
stayed home.
But I did want to say that Chairman Lawler was in and around our area almost every day, and you know, working with the crews and that sort of thing. So that was really pretty good to see him.
Do we have a number on how many? Do you have an idea of like how many homes were affected in your area? Because it sounds like it was substantial.
Well, where I am, I'm 13 feet above flood level, but down the street from, I live on Old Grand Avenue, but down the street from me, all those homes were all flooded. Oh. So there was no place actually for me to go. I mean, so
you're trapped.
I didn't go that way.
Right.
But eventually when 41 did open and I was able to get out, I rode out by the Fox River, and it was just devastating looking at all those boats that were underwater. The river is so high you can't get under the bridges. The marinas are all closed.
Yeah.
And
Eric?
That sort of thing. But
my guess is you have a really nice 1997 Harley Davidson with a trike on it. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I was out there on that. Every chance I get, I'm out there on that motorcycle. Uh-huh.
Well, I hope things straighten out there. It's what an awful situation for so many people to be in right now.
Yeah.
But
it's where I am, you know, I'm up, I dry, I don't have any water in the basement. My neighbors have water, but I don't. I'm in good shape.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
I like it.
Hey, Ed, can you hold on the line? Can I give you an apt card from, no apt electronics card? Yeah. I can send one out to you. Hold on the line and my.
Thanks, Mr. Elk.
I can, really? That's your dad? Wait, this Ed?
Yes.
That you're Eric's dad?
Yes, I am.
Oh!
You did this.
I was like, Eric, how did you know that? I figured it was some guy that drove up to an event.
For about 30 seconds, I was incredibly impressed that Eric's able to deduce that.
Ed, how do you like the job your son does on our show every week?
Oh,
he's got to go now.
Your mic's off, Eric.
I listen every week, and then I always have to text him and tell him what I think about some of the other comments made by the other people.
Sure.
Hey, I resemble that remark.
Yes, you do. There you go.
Thanks for calling.
It's a pleasure to hear from you, and I hope that things really... My aunt actually lives out by you in Gurnee, Illinois, and she lives in a condo, so I think they're doing okay, but it's hard to hear so many people struggling and dealing with the situation as it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
All right, Ed.
It's getting better.
I hope so. Have a great night, okay?
Okay.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you for your son.
Bye.
Well done, sir. Thank you. We have to take a break. I have to talk about, we must talk about the new communications director in the White House.
Mooch.
And whether or not the president can pardon himself. So,
I beg your pardon.
Oh, man.
What?
Well.
You know, let's just hang there for a second. More fun's coming up later, but we have to talk about like the fact that he's even looking into whether or not he can pardon himself and family members.
Well, he's currently orchestrating the firing. He's currently doing the "it's not you, it's me" routine on Jeff Sessions to force Jeff Sessions to resign.
You know, here's the thing. I believe that Donald Trump, the president, just wants to eliminate jobs on Saturday Night Live. More after this on 720 WGN.
Live from Chicago, Illinois, here is another episode of What's That From?
Time for What's That From? You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We are going to, all my guests in studio, we have Ken Jakubowski, Dave Lundy, Representative Robert Martwick, Representative Steve Anderson, Eric Elk. We also have producer Michael Heidemann. Esmeralda Leon is also joining us, and Roger Badish up in the newsroom. We are all going to read lines from a movie scene, and it is your task to tell us what's that from. 312-981-7200. I have two prizes. I have one for our text screen, so that's going to be up to Michael and Eric, by the way. You can see who texts us first. This is going to be fun because I'm pretty sure it's going to be quick. But 312-981-7200. We have a gift card from Apt Electronics and a gift card from Via Veneto's. Amazing Italian food. Some of the most authentic Italian food. Roger.
Yes.
Via Veneto is giving away gift cards on my show. Thank you so very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. That's marvelous.
Yes.
I'm glad that worked out.
We love
I'm excited. That. Oh, I love the pictures he posts all the time.
Over by near.
Of the food. Yeah.
Such good food. Oh, my God. Wasn't that ridiculous?
Well, that's right.
It
Who was
delicious.
Here that yeah. time oh when he came by?
So I think everyone has their roles. Eric, you waited too long to pick yours, and that's fine. So here we go.
Wait, am I? Who am I again? I forgot. Am I the narrator?
No, I'm the narrator.
Roger, you are in fact Greedo.
Who?
Now you can't say
my
that.
God.
Oh, Mike!
What are you doing, Michael? Guido, you're Guido. Guido Grabowski.
Guido Grabowski. Yeah.
Right. Hey, you like
Michael
the guy is... over there. Guido.
He did that a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
If
interior.
If I was still the announcer, I was going to say, can I kind of change things up a little bit?
I am going to because there's such long. Yes, okay, I got you. I got
it's
you.
It's like when Mike started the scene with Deep Throat is in a garage.
And in the,
that's what she said.
And in the hall of all the president's men.
By the way, might I add, I wrote this. This is an original piece. I don't know what you guys are mentioning.
Just studying my lines.
This is amazing. All right.
This is great.
Okay. Interior bar scene.
Oh, wait.
Thank you very
much. Oh, jeez.
Is it over now?
No, it's
and
never
seen.
It's never over. The young adventurer and his two mechanical servants follow the old man into a smoke-filled bar.
We don't serve their kind here.
What?
You're droids. They'll have to wait outside. We don't want them here.
The young adventurer is busy talking to one of the galactic pirates.
Listen, why don't you wait out in the speeder? We don't want any trouble.
I heartily agree with you, sir.
The droid and his stubby partner go outside, and most of the creatures are at the bar at their drinks. The old man is next to an 8-foot-tall, savage-looking creature.
Nicola, Nichard, Nomali, Wool Digger.
He doesn't like you.
I'm sorry.
I don't like you either.
The big creature is getting agitated and yells out some unintelligible gibberish.
Don't insult us. You just watch yourself. We're wanted men. I have the death sentence in 12 systems.
I'll be careful then.
You'll be dead.
The rodent lets out a loud grunt and everything at the bar moves away.
This little one isn't worth the effort. Come, let me buy you something.
A powerful blow from the unpleasant creature sends the young would-be man sailing across the room.
No blasters! No blaster!
With astounding agility, the old man uses a laser as sparks. It sparks to life, and in a flash, an arm flies on the floor. The rodent is cut in two, and the giant multi-eyed creature lies doubled over.
This is Chewbacca. He's first made on a ship that might suit our needs.
Exterior on the street.
I don't like the look of this.
Han Solo, I'm captain of the Millennium Falcon. Chewie here tells me you're looking for passage to the Alderaan system.
Yes, indeed, if it's a fast ship.
Fast ship? You've never heard of the Millennium Falcon?
Should I have?
It's the ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs.
He reacts to Solo's stupid attempt to impress them with obvious misinformation.
Stupid attempt? I've outrun Imperial starships, not the local bulk cruisers, mind you. I'm talking about the big Carillion ships now. She's fast enough for you, old man. What's the cargo?
Only passengers. Myself, the boy, two droids, and no questions asked.
What is it? Some kind of local trouble?
Let's just say we'd like to avoid any imperial entanglements.
Well, that's the trick, isn't it? And it's going to cost you something extra. 10,000 in advance.
10,000? We can almost buy our own ship for that.
Oh, but who's going to fly it, kid? You?
You bet I could. I'm not such a bad pilot myself. We don't have to sit here and listen.
We haven't that much with us, but we could pay you 2,000 now, plus 15,000 when we reach Alderaan.
17, huh?
He ponders for a few moments.
Okay, you guys got yourself a ship. We'll leave as soon as you're ready. Docking Bay 94.
94.
Looks like somebody's beginning to take an interest in your handiwork.
The adventurer and the old man turn around to see four Imperial stormtroopers looking at the dead bodies and asking the bartenders some questions. The bartender points to the booth.
All right, we'll check it out.
The troopers look over at the booth, but the old man and the young adventurer are gone.
17,000. These guys must be really desperate. This could really save my neck. Get back to the ship and get her ready.
Exterior street.
You'll have to sell your speeder.
That's okay. I'm never coming back to this planet again.
Interior bar.
Going somewhere solo?
Yes, Greedo. As a matter of fact, I was just going to see your boss. Tell Jabba I've got his money.
It's too late. You should have paid him when you had the chance. Yeah. Jabba's put a price on your head, so large that every bounty hunter in the galaxy will be looking for you. I'm lucky I found you first.
Yeah, but this time I got the money.
If you give it to me, I might forget I found you.
I don't have it with me. Tell Jabba.
Jabba's through with you. He has no time for smugglers who drop their shipments at the first sign of an Imperial cruiser.
Even I get bored at sometimes. Do you think I had a choice?
You can tell that to Jabba. He may only take your ship.
Over my dead body.
That's the idea. I've been looking forward to killing you for a long time.
Yes, I'll bet you have.
The slimy alien disappears in a blinding flash of light because Han shot first!
Sorry about the mess.
Interior Death Star control room.
Her resistance to the mind probe is considerable. It will be some time before we can extract any information from her.
The final checkout is complete. All systems are operational. What course shall we set?
Perhaps she would respond to an alternative form of persuasion.
What do you mean?
I think it's time we demonstrate the full power of this station. Set your course for Princess Leia's home planet of Alderaan.
With pleasure.
I just want to... I want to ask one question.
Roger Badish gets an Academy Award for that performance.
Well, you all do, by the way. Can I just say, what do we learn from this, though? Who shot first?
Han shot first.
Han shot first.
I know the movie. All the President's Men. It was great. That Carl Bernstein part.
Follow
was
the money.
312-981-7200. What's that from? Oh, look, we already.
We had several texters.
Was this from Roots? Was this. No, seriously, was it Roots?
Yes.
Because I saw that.
No, no, Roots.
The remix, Obi-Wan Kenobi, the next generation. Or wasn't it Roots?
Yes.
The television series?
So, Ken, are you less likely or more likely to see. John, what movie was that from?
Han totally shot first.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yes, I did.
What's that from?
God, they took that out and it.
He hasn't answered.
Yes, Star Wars.
Which one?
He got it. He said
which one?
What's the original title?
Yeah, that's the original title. Thank you very much. Episode.
They don't have their own name.
Episode what? For extra credit and an extra.
No. It'd be episode. What?
Yeah, what? That would be the.
That
question.
Was the question.
Which one? Come on.
A New Hope.
Yeah, but there was a
which
number.
Episode?
What number?
1, 2, 3, or 4, 5, 6, or 7.
God. Can I give him a hint?
1, 2, 3,
Bobby Orr.
4, 5, 6.
That's your hint. Bobby Orr.
Come on. Four. What is it?
He said 4.
He did?
Yeah, he did.
Did you say
choice.
4?
Yeah, he said okay. 4.
Well, then he
good. You should have said 4.
He gets an Apt Electronics gift card and a gift card from Via Veneto's. You get both
nice.
Of those.
Wow.
My
ooh,
yes.
Nice.
Wow. For Michael, guessing the most obvious movie ever?
He was also on hold like the entire time we were reading that.
I know what? Know the movies by the names.
themselves.
That's
Sorry,
fine.
It took me a minute for four, but
yes, that's fair.
It's okay. At the
Esmeralda
beginning,
gave
it
away
it didn't
with her,
have a
with
new
her
name.
Heavy breathing.
It was heavy breathing. Yeah.
I thought she was cleaning her glasses or something.
When it came out, it only was Star Wars. It had no.
I agree.
That's correct.
Keep in mind that right when we started, like the first, third, second line, someone texted in and said, "The Godfather."
Oh!
Are you serious?
Did someone say cannoli?
Now that I would have guessed.
Who said, leave the gun, take the cannoli?
That was
who said that?
Previous segment.
I'm pretty sure it was. Yeah. John, hold on the line. Michael will get your information, and we will send out a gift card from Apt Electronics and from Via Veneto's.
Elliot,
thank you so much, John.
Awesome. You missed out.
That's so cool. Thanks.
Thank you. And we need a texter. Who was the first texter to guess?
The first texter was 630-479 blah, blah,
yeah, blah,
blah, blah,
blah. Wow. Blah, blah, that's blah. A lot of information right there. That's too much. That's almost like asking for your voting information. Can you?
I can provide that if you'd like it.
The federal government would like it.
Yes, please.
Yeah, are you a Democrat or Republican there?
Yeah, Michael, if you can get the first texter as well, gets a gift card from Apt Electronics. So all good, all good. So when we come back, let's see who's pardoned and who's not. That was an excellent job, by the way.
You know, it's really interesting, though, because these scripts are not the same as the movies.
What do you mean?
Same with all the President's Men. There are meaningful differences in the scripts compared to the movie. So, for example,
yes.
In the last scene where Greedo, well, first of all, Greedo spoke in Greedoism.
And Greedo shot first.
I
no, Greedo
wanted
not
to
shoot first.
So bad, but the translation would have taken me forever.
Well, to be honest, though, in this incarnation of it, whatever script we have, you see narration says that Han starts to reach for his laser,
right.
For his blaster.
Yeah.
Which is important because right. He shot first.
But
yes.
But so Greedo says, "I've been looking forward to killing you for a long time." That's not what he says in the movie.
It's
and
not.
It's never been what he says in the movie.
Again, I told you this was an
original screenplay.
Screenplay by me 5 hours before the show started. So any discrepancies would be brought up with me.
But,
fair
but,
enough.
But just so that everybody
fair
knows
enough.
What Patty's
well done,
talking
Michael.
To when she compulsively says Han shot first,
Han shot
what
first.
She's referring to is the fact that when they edited the movie. And put all the bogus special effects in there. They had Greedo shoot first because they did not want Han to be seen as the bad guy, which was ridiculous.
It was the equivalent of he drew first blood.
Can I tell you, I just got my first dramatic review.
Oh, yeah.
Which was my wife.
Yes.
She just texted me, keep your day job.
Well, let's see how you do at the end of the show then.
Which one? Sleeping.
Yeah. More after this on 720 WGN. Matt Bubala is coming in. That's exciting.